Thank you very much, Paul. Really appreciate the way you have set up the stage, not only for my brief comments, but also for the entire conversation for the rest of the day. It's a real privilege to be part of this conversation, and I mean it. I was born in the communist regime, and I grew up in a communist regime, in a totalitarian regime. And part of my mindset was that I won't be able to travel abroad, to study abroad. I had no direct link to the flows of information and whatever was happening in the West, in the free world, other than Radio Free Europe and the Voice of America. So here I am, in front of this prestigious institution, in a very special moment when the Western civilization is confronted with an existential threat, and here I am to talk to you about that. And in my approach to my conversation with you, I had made this reference to my background, to my experience, because I want to use that in my presentation. In a sense, I'm like a traveler from the future, setting the stage for a better understanding of what is ahead in the West and in the American system, which is a totalitarian system. In order to better understand what lays ahead at the current trends, we have to look back and try to understand from the experience of the past the roots and the nature of these types of regimes. So, I'm going to be a little bit polemical and, again, set the stage for a conversation and for a debate regarding the nature of the threat and the way we are going to respond to this. And I'm going to take as a starting point the list that Bridget Wagner, presented us yesterday. You remember that list of challenges and problems, institutional, intellectual, economic, ideological, and so on and so forth. And then the second element that I'm going to take as a starting point is a concept in the title of this panel, which is the idea of distortion, that there are institutional distortions that we have to fix. And my thesis is that actually we are misunderstanding the nature of the problem. That list of problems, those challenges are not just distortions, are symptoms. Could you hear me? Oh, wonderful. So maybe I should, just in case. Okay, so my point is this. So we are misunderstanding the nature of the challenge because those are not just distortions. This is a new system. This is something unprecedented. We have never seen such a regime, such a structure, such a system ever in the history of humankind. And precisely because of that, we need to explore and understand better what is going on before starting to build up our strategies. And the first thing is that we need a new theoretical and conceptual apparatus. We need a new way of understanding these kind of systems. So what we have at hand is not sufficient at this point, right? So this is the first thing. The second thing is that doesn't mean that we have to discard the... Yeah, Bridget. Okay, now looks... Just leave it just in case. Just in case. So first point, again... A new system, something unprecedented. Second, we need a new theoretical, conceptual apparatus in order to deal with that. And the third thing is that in order to build up that conceptual apparatus and that understanding, we don't have to discard what we have learned from the entire tradition of thinking about institutions, governance, political systems, and economic systems. Tocqueville is still relevant. Locke is relevant. Hobbes is relevant. Hayek is relevant. However, we have to rethink those things in the context of the 21st century. The current institutional structure, technological structure, cultural trends, demographic trends are of such a nature that they require us to engage in that effort. Again, it's extremely important not to forget the historical experience. And this is my next step in my presentation. We need to build up on the case studies or the precedents that were offered to us in the history of humankind in order to understand this new type of system. Yes, indeed, the system is radically new, radically different, but still there are some elements in that system which have already been in place or growing in the last couple of hundred years. And this is the thing that I would like to talk for the rest of my presentation. Let's look at the challenges in the American education system or the Western education system. The current perspective is that, first, those challenges, politically correctness, the woke movement, freedom of speech situations, could be seen as a sort of institutional pathology problem within the system of education. Therefore, our approach is to try to look at the diffusion, at the contagion emerging from those institutions, and then use a sort of containment strategy, and if possible, to roll them back. My point is that we are missing the entire bigger picture, which is that those developments are part of a new emerging system. And in order to understand what is going on there, we have to understand that system. The connection between the variety of developments on variety of fronts, institutional fronts, social fronts, economic fronts, ideological fronts, in conjunction with what is happening in the education system. Now, I mentioned the historical experience, and I mentioned my own background. Like I said, I grew up in a communist regime, a totalitarian regime, and all of a sudden, following what was going on in American universities, I realized that I recognized something which was familiar, a pattern which was familiar. And I'm going to describe you a little bit that pattern, and you'll see what I mean. It is the pattern of the political commissar. The communists, the Bolshevik Revolution, introduced this extraordinary... Could you hear me? Okay. So, we have Trotsky introducing this idea of a political commissar, institution of the political commissar. You have the Bolshevik army, and at the level of each unit, you introduce a second command and control structure, which is functioning on purely ideological, doctrinaire basis, and has authority even over the officers in those kind of issues, including having a gun and executing on the spot those who are, in one way or another, behaving in ways which are threatening the political line. That was very successful as an institutional innovation when it comes to the Bolshevik army. And once the regime was installed, you could see in that totalitarian system emerging a new governance structure in which such political commissars units were created at the level of all institutions, factories, health system, hospitals, schools, preschools. In all of those, you have this structure, the political commissar, which was in charge with a direct command and control ideological indoctrination and propaganda line. And all of a sudden, you realize that this totalitarian system was an extraordinary innovation with this double functional structure and this double hierarchy of command and control system. Now, these kind of systems could be implemented top-down, as in the example that I have given. But in the United States and in the West, we see such a system emerging bottom-up, building step-by-step these political commissars' units at the level of all institutional structures. All of a sudden, several years ago, people were very surprised about what was happening in American corporations, but that was the trend, the creation of these ideological structures, this institutionalization of indoctrination at the level of the entire structure of society. So we have different historical circumstances, but there are some common properties, converging properties between the two systems, the communist system or any totalitarian system, and what is happening under our own eyes. So therefore, the point here, the first point here, is that we have to see what is happening in universities and in general what is happening in the entire system in a more coherent way. We need an understanding of these type of systems, of these types of regimes, in order to be able to deal with the challenges that these regimes are posing. What is the nature of this regime? So, in order to understand that, we have to look at what is called the totalitarian inversion. Such types of regimes are regimes which are imposing a unique vision, a unique set of values, a unique perspective on society. They have an ideal at the end of the road. But, and obviously in order to do that, they deny pluralism and deny freedom of expression and freedom of thought and so on and so forth. But in the process of introducing the institutional design of the new system, something happens. They realized that actually human nature is not fitted for the kind of system that they want to build. And therefore, at that point, instead of building the new system, they start to use the institutions in order to create the new man and the new woman, the new person, anthropology. Human nature becomes the target. This is a totalitarian stage of an ideocratic system. So let's call ideocracy the final destination. It might be communist, it might be National Socialist, it might be whatever the overarching ideology or vision imposes on society. But the transition stage requires a process by which you are weeding out and clearing the path towards the ideal ideocratic system, in which you have to use the means of terror, of indoctrination, brainwashing, and eliminating a part of the society which is not convertible to the new credo. That's totalitarianism. That's the type of system or the stage in which I think the Western society is moving at this point bottom up and increasingly top down as the system is consolidating in its operation. Now, I said that this is a system which is unprecedented, but so far I have described two features, ideocracy and totalitarianism, which are not new to us. Let me add two other elements which make what is happening now very special. First is technology. If we are comparing the kind of communist system that I grew up with, or any other forms of totalitarianism, in comparison with what is going to happen and is growing under our own eyes here, we realize that those systems are very primitive, very rudimentary, right? Their monitoring system, their control systems, their information systems were very rudimentary, and any kind of social control system which has such an information rudimentary information system, the efficiency, the efficacy of the system is very limited. Probably most of you have familiar with The Lives of Others, the movie, right? That's a very rudimentary system. This system is extraordinarily efficient in terms of gathering information about us, monitoring our behavior, monitoring what we are thinking, what we are saying. It's just a matter of a couple of clicks to take the system to the new level. So the information revolution has made possible a system which is able to monitor, it's able to control in ways which are unprecedented. Moreover, this technological revolution at the same time is changing the structure of the economy. And it's integrating the structure of the economy into this system of monitoring and control. So this is the nature of the challenge. This is the stuff that we are dealing with. To understand this new type of beast, this new type of governance structure, this new type of economy, which is growing under our own eyes. It would be sufficient to have just the ideological challenge that I have described you, the ideocracy plus totalitarianism. We have seen that in the past. But now we see that converging and being supported and reinforced by these technological and economic developments. And I think that this is huge. We won't be able to respond to this challenge until we start to think again in foundational terms and try to readjust our theories, our concepts, our entire intellectual tradition of several hundred years, when I'm speaking about modernity, but obviously it's a longer tradition, to the new 21st century circumstances. And let me leave you with one observation, one thought about the nature of this system. I was talking about the information revolution, about the knowledge society. These are the labels under which we know we have identified these developments in the last 30 years, 20, 30 years or so. The information society, which was promising us more freedom, more choice, right? Well, the information society and the knowledge economy or knowledge society were labels, were ways of defining what was happening, which are relatively recent. The roots of this extraordinary technological revolution are somewhere during the Second World War, and more specifically at the beginning of the 50s, with what we call the cybernetics revolution, right? So before being the information revolution due to authors like Shannon, it was the cybernetics revolution due to authors like Norbert Wiener. What is cybernetics in the definition given by Wiener and the pioneers of this extraordinary transformation? Well, the idea is that cybernetics is based on the idea of cyber, which is the person who steers, the controller of a ship. So actually, cybernetics is the theory of control. By building up an understanding of feedback systems in which information is very important as part of a control system, the cybernetics offered itself to humanity as a theory of control. So each time now when we are talking about the information society or the technological revolution leading us to the knowledge economy, I think we have to think also about the origins of it. This is a revolution of control. We are confronted with a control system of unprecedented magnitude, something that humanity has never seen before. Only two such huge transitions took place in the history of humankind. We are confronted with a third one. The first such extraordinary technological, social, institutional, economic transition took place with what we call the Neolithic Revolution, when human society or humans shifted from to agriculture and started to create the civilizations based on agriculture and cities. The second one was the Industrial Revolution. The first one took a couple of thousand years to be accomplished. The second one about 100 years or so. I mean the Industrial Revolution, the transition from agricultural systems to industrial systems operating on energy. And now we are confronted with a third such transition. We are in the middle of it. We need a better understanding of what is going to happen at the end of this transition period, what kind of systems we are building, what kind of governance, what kind of economic order we are building on this information revolution, which is actually a control revolution so far. So let me stop here. I think that this is a conversation that we won't be able to avoid. We have to revisit our tools, the way we are understanding what is happening, in order to be better prepared to deal with that. So let me stop here, and thank you very much.